97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. I'm Kim St. Ange, filling in for Mark Cox for one more day. He'll be back tomorrow. He was enjoying some time with his family, I think taking his daughter on a college visit.
Yes.
Okay, so he's back tomorrow. Scott Jagow here in the studio with us.
Good morning.
And Sue Thomas has been helping you navigate any issues on the road. Well, happy Columbus Day, or I want to make sure that I'm politically correct. That's very important to Mark. And so I want to say happy Indigenous Peoples Day to you, Scott.
Thank you.
Please celebrate accordingly. Are there any statues that you want to tear down? Maybe
I think they're already all torn down.
Oh, shoot. You mean like the the Christopher Columbus one in Tower Grove Park that they tore down?
I actually saw that happen.
So did I.
I was standing right there in front of it.
And how'd that make you feel?
I was forlorn. Just the whole concept of... And remember how it was during the pandemic, there was such a wave of this PC-ness going on at that time. Mm-hmm. And this was just a symptom.
Right. Well, you have to erase history. Don't you know that? If you don't like it, if a person did anything bad, you have to tear down the statue and pretend like it never happened.
Even if it was 1492.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit ridiculous. So I'm going to say happy Columbus Day. Maybe some of you have the day off. Enjoy that. The big story overnight really is what happened with this supposed potential, and I say potential for a very important reason, assassination attempt on Donald Trump. Okay, so this was the Coachella Valley rally that he had over the weekend. And what happened was this guy pulls up at one of the checkpoints and he shows what they determined was a phony press badge to try to, I guess, cover the event or something. And it turns out after they searched his car, they found all sorts of driver's license, like fake driver's license or ones that didn't match his, you know, name or picture, passports. He had what looked like a homemade license plate. So then they search even more and they find several guns that were loaded. And so they end up arresting him and he bails out. He pays $5,000 and gets out. But the sheriff's department is saying, yeah, we think this was going to be a third assassination attempt. Feds say no.
Wait. Let's go back to what you just said. So if in the local sheriff doubled down yesterday that this was an assassination attempt and that his deputies prevented a third assassination attempt on Donald Trump. But you just said that he bailed out on a $5,000 bail.
Because really, they could only get him for having the gun.
Right. But if he was trying to assassinate a former president, I would think that somehow they would be able to keep him in custody. You know what I'm saying? Like, so he's out there. Now he's back out.
Well, yeah.
So you're saying he was trying to kill the president.
Well, that's
ridiculous.
Yeah, that's what's so weird to me. And the feds, it sounds like they're not going to pursue it like he was trying to assassinate him. Supposedly, this guy, 49-year-old Vem Miller, has a history of run-ins, petty run-ins. But they say that he's part of this group of the Sovereign Citizens Movement that they say is a far-right group. You know, they say they're conspiracy theorists. Now, some of these things I've heard, it is kind of odd. They tend to not want to have their car registered. They, you know, don't feel like the government has any say in anything that they do. I believe that even though I don't like the policies of, say, Joe Biden, that you have to yield to the government unless it goes against God. That's my personal belief as a Christian. But anyway, this whole story is just weird. Charlie Kirk was out there saying that he's heard from sources that this guy, you know, he's a registered Republican. He went to the RNC. He did not have plans to try to assassinate Trump. In fact, he's a Trump supporter. Who knows? I think more stuff's going to come out over the next 24 to 48 hours about this guy. But the fact that the feds just wrote this off so quickly is weird. And Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation talked about that at 6:20. So rewind on the Odyssey app and listen to that conversation.
Right. But the sheriff, again, I said he doubled down. He called this guy, Vem Miller, a lunatic.
Yes.
Then he suggested that the whole country was lunatics. Because people were suggesting he was being dramatic, the sheriff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know who this guy is, but he sounds a little unstable to me.
Tim Walz has said about the Republicans, I'm going to use their terminology here. The situation is weird. There's some fishiness going on. I don't really know what to believe right now. I just wanted to make sure you guys all knew what's going on right now, what both sides are saying, because it doesn't match up. All right, lots to get to here. Final hour of the Mark Cox Morning Show. Carl, let's get to the top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Only, Martha, do you hear yourself? Only a handful of apartment complexes in America were taken over by Venezuelan gangs, and Donald Trump is the problem?
I just want to slow clap for J.D. Vance every time I hear him do one of these interviews, particularly with the mainstream media like ABC there, where they're trying to make it seem like it's not a big deal that only a handful of apartment complexes in Colorado were overtaken by Venezuelan gangs.
Are we going to be a nation of law and order? Or wide open borders? Which is it? Because it's time to pick a side.
Well, and Dennis Quaid, I really like him as an actor. He has picked a side. He's going to go ahead and endorse Donald Trump. Made that endorsement while speaking at the Coachella Valley rally Trump had over the weekend. And, of course, now the question is how long until the mob comes after him to try to cancel him.
And I'm hereby calling for the death penalty for any migrant that kills an American citizen or law enforcement officer.
Whether anyone supports the death penalty or not, can we just agree there is a massive problem with illegal immigration? The left wants to tell you, no, 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 it's fine. We're doing everything we can. We're good. No.
Joy cometh in the morning.
You get it, girl. You go on with that cackle. Joy, joy, joy. That's what the party's all about, right? Kamala wants to make sure you feel joy. And that's what she's trying to tell specifically black churchgoers in the battleground states, because she's kicked off a little effort where she's going to go around in these final days and she's going to speak to some of these churches in these particular states. And she's going to try to convince them that you should vote for her. And they've even created, Scott Jagow, a faith advisory board that's made up of what they say is 10 prominent faith leaders, including her pastor, who I guess is leading a church in San Francisco.
I think they just very recently discovered that this is a problem with their campaign. The faith part and black men specifically. So that's why they have this faith advisory council all of a sudden, because they realize what the polls are saying.
Well, yeah. I mean, the latest NBC ABC poll shows that Trump is closing in the gap. I think it was the ABC poll had, let's see here. So it's the NBC poll dead heat, 48% for Trump and Harris. NBC poll, 48 Trump, 50 Harris. But I mean, just last month, Harris, according to these polls, which I don't know how much I believe them, but it had Harris up about 4 to 5 points over Trump. So that's very telling. And I agree. I think they're very concerned specifically about the black vote. That's why you have Obama out there speaking to the men saying, you got to vote. She understands our struggles. And, you know, you can't just say you don't want to vote for her because she's a woman. Then you have the Bill Clinton. He was out over the weekend also campaigning for her, which did you see him at the DNC? I mean, the guy looked not in good health.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I don't know how many points it's worth, but you do have to bake into these polls the hidden Trump supporters.
Oh, I absolutely. Mean,
John Hancock, our conservative analyst over at KMOX, talks about it all the time. Like going back to 2016, the, you know, Hillary Clinton, the polls are saying she was going to run away in some of these border key states, and she lost.
Right. I don't think they're the ones who are saying, yes, I'd like to participate in your poll. Hold on. Let me wait so I can answer your questions about who I want to support. They're just not. Those aren't the voters, I think, who are participating in these polls. And it's a very small sample size. It's like 1,000 people that they use to try to say, this is how the public is voting. So, but if it were up to Tim Walz, he would get rid of the Electoral College, by the way. He still stands for that. Despite him trying to walk that comment back last week, I still wholeheartedly believe that he's all about that, if given the opportunity. After the break, we have Jessie Jane Duff. We always like to talk to her on a Monday morning. And I have to ask her about what's going on in Israel, because Hezbollah launched a drone attack over the weekend. Now Israel's trying to respond and the U.S. is getting involved.
I am hard, but I am fair.
Good morning, motivator.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
Take the hill. We got a long week.
Jessie Jane Duff joining us now. And Jessie Jane, I think you're the perfect person to ask about what's been going on in Israel, because we know we had Hezbollah that launched a drone attack on Israel, killed 4 soldiers, injured dozens other. Well, now the U.S. is getting involved. What's your reaction to all this?
Honestly, the United States should have been actively engaged in trying to prevent all of this debacle for some time. I mean, really, how many billions of dollars did they funnel over to Iran that have now basically dragged Iran's proxies to be enabled to attack Israel? I mean, how many years has this been now? I'm sorry, how many? Yeah, it's been a year now. Actually, I'm sorry. It's ever since October 7th. And, you know, the United States now is being forced to be put into a position where they have to aggressively go after Iranian activity that is targeting our allies, targeting Americans. We have American forces in Iraq and in Syria, and they have been repeatedly targeted over and over. Let's not forget the three American National Guardsmen that were killed by the Iranian backed Houthi rebels, and we barely hear any discussion about that still to this day, let alone, you know, we know that Kamala Harris has never said the names of the U.S. service members that were killed in Afghanistan, but also they don't even acknowledge the three National Guardsmen that were killed. So, you know, the United States is, you know, just seems like it's coming in with this Johnny come lately, you know, like this could have been preventable. And then when we do engage, how much are we going to end up being engaged? But I don't have any insight as to if U.S. forces are going to be placed on the ground. It would be pure speculation for me right now. And I would hope that U.S. forces are not put on the ground. But at the same time, we have American hostages that are still being held by Hamas. And Hamas has made no indication that they want to have any type of handing back the American hostages, let alone the Israeli hostages. And for this to be going on still a year later just is a great testimony that the Biden-Harris administration is ill-prepared in national security measures.
Right. And my understanding is it's about 100 U.S. troops who are going over there to basically operate the missile defense system. And what's interesting to me, and maybe you have some insight into this, it sounds like the drone attack wasn't stopped by that Iron Dome, you know, where they were able to intercept about 200 some odd missiles a couple weeks ago, right? But does that help with the...
The Russians actually have been playing into this where they have types of technology that are undetectable by the Iron Dome. So there has been Russian engagement with Iran, of course. You know, China's engaged with Iran, of course. And due to this advanced weapon system, they were able to actually circumvent the Iron Dome. Now, U.S. forces have been utilized in the past before to assist with the Patriot missile system to make sure that they are assisting on that level. And that actually is a very strategic and smart move, considering the bombardment that has been going on from Hezbollah. And then not to forget Hamas, that is probably not as forceful or as strong as they once were, but still are trying to disable Israel at every opportunity.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I also want to get your take on this whole situation. They're saying that there was a potential assassination attempt on Donald Trump when he was speaking in the Coachella Valley over the weekend. The feds say no. The local sheriff's deputy there, or the sheriff, I should, he says yes, that this guy was going to try to kill Trump potentially.
I don't have insight. I hate saying that, but I'm on the campaign, and the campaign has not released any information to me, so I don't want to speak out of turn on that. You know, I can say the obvious, like all of us, that, you know, President Trump has become a target. We understand, though, that many presidents have assassination threats made against them. It's quite common. In this particular case, though, it's obviously gone above and beyond because there was a shot fired that did hit this man and killed another innocent civilian and honestly had severely wounded two other civilians. This has been the most catastrophic attempt since I would think that's the Ronald Reagan when he was shot. So this is pretty significant that we know that President Trump is a target. We know that Iran has been looking at him. We know that there's been a lot of other enemies looking at him because he essentially is not going to allow the United States to become the world's punching bag, which, you know, the Biden-Harris administration has been extremely weak on national security and has enabled Iran, enabled a lot of the people that we all call the establishment to get rich off the American taxpayers. So there's those that are definitely threatened by their lifestyle or their terrorist activity that don't want to see him back in the White House. Yes, I've heard that it is not being called an assassination attempt by even the campaign, but I have not gotten that word myself. So I don't want to speak out of turn on that. And I think it's just wonderful that this guy was caught long before he was able to pull out a weapon and stage himself. So that's a huge win on that level. And I think that's something we should be celebrating, that he was caught.
Less than a minute left, but I just saw the NBC, ABC polls are saying that Trump's narrowing the gap between him and Harris. It's looking better for him. What's your reaction to that?
I'm narrowing the gap. I don't think that there is a gap. I mean, I've been looking at the swing states. Those are the most important. So yes. They do these national polls. National doesn't mean anything. We already know California's, baked in as a loss, as is Oklahoma's baked in as a win. We know which states were winning, and we know which states they could potentially win. It's those swing states he has taken a lead on. There is no gap there now. He was always 2-3 points behind in 2016 and in 2020. Now he's 2-3 points ahead in those very same swing states.
And I don't believe the polls, so...
Well, I do when you're looking at the swing states, but when you do a national poll, you're now taking in the Californians, you're taking in the Oklahoma, you're taking in, and I would also like to break down those polls and see which states and what is the divide. Sometimes the divide is not balanced between Republican and Democrat. It's sometimes leaning left or leans right. You got to look at a lot of those. And are we talking likely voters or registered voters? There is a big difference between those two also. One of the ABC polls is only looking at registered voters, or as NBC, versus likely voters, and that causes a huge disparity in the difference.
I couldn't agree more. Jesse Jane Duff, thanks as always.
All right, take the hill, motivators. It's going to be a long week. We're almost there, though. End of the sprint.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, Tom Ackerman joining us now like he does on a Monday morning. Tom, how are you?
What's up, Kim? Doing well.
Hey, you excited for tomorrow? Because I think a lot of hockey fans are looking forward to the home opener.
Yeah, and I think the team's had a good start. I mean, they lost to Vegas their last game, but they went into Seattle, pretty good team, and beat them. They beat not a good San Jose team, but they came back and won. And that's kind of been the surprise here, is how quickly they score and come back. I thought in particular the Seattle game, it was a great one for Kyrou, scoring 2 goals out of the 3 that they scored in a minute 55. You know, that shows that they do have a burst. They can score. They've got really good speed. I really like this Philip Broberg that they picked up from Edmonton. They signed him to an offer sheet, Dylan Holloway also. But Broberg propels, I think, into a top four defenseman. You know, he's learning how to play with Justin Falk. And while, you know, hockey fans are going to focus, I'm sure, on the play of Jordan Binnington, he's phenomenal, and he's going to carry this team to wherever it goes, and Kyrou and Thomas and their offensive possibilities. But keep an eye on Broberg and how he learns to play with Falk. I think he's going to be a really nice player for them, and he's young, you know, and the Blues are young. I mean, they have some veterans. They look like they have some good veteran presence and leadership. They've got some young players, too. So it's kind of hard to read what kind of a contender they are. In fact, I talked to Tom Stillman, the chairman, about it yesterday, and I said, are you a contender? And he said, well, define contender. I mean, I think we're a team that could be a playoff team, and that's kind of how they're looking at it. I think they're going to keep the expectations somewhat low and then come out and try to surprise people. But it'll be fun to be back in the building. Always great life. Stillman keeping it kind of a mystery as to what it will look like at 6:20. When everyone's in their seat and they roll out the new video, and that's actually going to start at around 6:15, and they want everyone to be in their seats after the rally. So get in there if you have a ticket, if you're lucky enough to have one, and check out the Blues tomorrow.
Well, and I wonder how long, I know you're talking about Jordan Binnington, and I know he's under contract, I think, till 2026. I mean, do you think there's any chance of him sticking around after that?
I don't know. It's still a ways away. I mean, I think that they love what he's brought to them. And, you know, it depends on what the team looks behind him and around him, you know, and how much confidence do you have in who's coming next. But, you know, if you can reasonably put together a deal for Jordan Binnington, I'd do it. I mean, he's been the face of the franchise since they won the Cup. So I love what he brings to the table.
Thomas Scott, we were talking yesterday about the baseball playoffs and a couple of former Cardinals, and in fact, Flaherty pitched 7 shutout innings last night for the Dodgers, who have 33 straight shutout innings. How about those two former Cardinals performing in the playoffs this year?
Yeah, I'm really happy for Tommy Edman because it was a tough year, and personally, I like him a lot. Harrison Bader's playing for the Mets, and of course, we like Harry. He's been fun to deal with. But Tommy, you know, has been a great Cardinal, and I felt bad for him that he just couldn't get that wrist healthy. He finally did. Now he's playing well. Jack Flaherty, you know, Jack grew up in L.A., and he went to Harvard Westlake High School, which is 20 minutes from Dodger Stadium. And I think it's a really great story, you know. And of course, you want him to be a Cardinal. You want Cardinals to stay Cardinals. But once you get to know these people, and we've known Jack Flaherty since he was drafted a decade ago. He was drafted by the Cardinals in 2014, and we've seen him grow up and go through ups and downs and battles here and there. But, you know, last night he's pitching game one of the NLCS 20 minutes from his high school. I mean, that's pretty cool. And then he goes out and pitches seven scoreless and allows two hits. And I don't even like the Dodgers, and I like I like what I saw from that, out of that. But, you know, I love this Mets team. I think they're fun. I think if they find a way this afternoon to get that thing back to Citi Field and get some rest and then get after them in game three, that would be ideal. They've got to find a way today, though, because the Dodgers look awfully powerful. And, you know, just ask the Padres. I mean, the Padres got shut out their last two games, which is just insane.
I wish the Cardinals would have made the playoffs, and I know Citi also didn't make the playoffs, so that means their final match, I believe, is this upcoming Saturday. I mean, is there a lot of hope going into the next season? Because the first season, they killed it. This season, it seems like, not so great, right?
Yeah, and they keep talking about, and I'm actually going to talk to John Hackworth, the interim coach here, in a few minutes over at KMOX, and you know, he keeps talking, and Lutz keeps talking about how Lutz Vandensteel, for people who don't know, the sporting director, about how they really feel good about next year. I mean, based on what they've seen here over the last several games of their ability to play together, they've won a couple of games. They still think they have something to play for, which is to pass a couple of teams in the table and finish a lot higher than what they thought they were going to finish. As the season was progressing, I mean, they fired Bradley Carnell. They changed tons of personnel. And now they seem to have found the right combo, and Hackworth coaching them seems to be the right leader, too. So it's exciting. I mean, I think that they're going to draw great crowds. You know, they have great ownership. They have great stability. And so now they need to stick with what they started, which was to build a foundation for the future and not stray from that. And they feel very good about what they could offer in year three.
I've never actually been to a Citi game. I'd like to go, but I know Citi Park is really cool, and people talk about that food all the time. So if anything, I'd like to go
great.
For that.
Yeah, Kim, I think you really do need to go. Bring some friends. Go early and just kind of hang out outside the stadium. Maybe do a lap around the stadium and see all the parades of people coming in and everything. And then, you know, they shut the streets down and all of that. Then you go in, and it really is a great atmosphere. I don't even know how I would describe it. I mean, it's like bringing international soccer feel to downtown. The place holds 23,000, 24,000 at best. But, man, does it feel big and loud and powerful.
I know.
It's a beautiful, beautiful stadium.
I need to put that on my to-do list. All right, Tom, I know you've got to run.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thanks for giving us time. Yeah, I need to go. I see the videos, and it looks like such a cool atmosphere. And again, I see the pictures of the delicious food, and I keep saying I want to go.
We'll just go. There's one more game left.
Well, yeah. But then I actually went out of town this weekend. But then I look at the prices, and I'm just being cheap. But some of the tickets are really expensive. And I understand why they were, because especially after the first season, they were doing really well.
Sure.
But, I mean, are they going to be cheaper now that they weren't doing so great this season?
They have been cheaper this season. Because
is cheap? What do you call it? Like, give me an example of a ticket price that you've seen.
Well, somewhere between, like, $40 and $100.
Okay, I mean, 40 totally I could do.
Yeah. And most of that is people reselling their tickets because of the team not doing as well and lots of reasons. But, yeah, I know what you're talking about. When they first started, those ticket prices were hundreds. And it was hard to find anything lower than 100.
Wasn't that general admission? That wasn't even like you were getting up close to the action. I mean, that, I thought, was kind of far back, which it seems like that stadium is set up where anywhere you sit is going to be a good seat.
Yeah.
It's not like Busch Stadium where it's so high up that you're in the nosebleeds, right?
Yeah, the only thing people complain about with that stadium is just the seats are really tight together. That's it. I mean, otherwise, there's no bad seats in there.
Yeah.
Well, this weekend, you'd have to go to Minneapolis to see.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Well, I am planning to go to Iowa, so I'll be going direction. I'll just swing over to Minnesota. Won't be a problem. You know, by the way, we have like what temperature in the 40s? The morning temp was 47. We're going to have a freeze. But I'll tell you what, I did live in Iowa. I lived in Des Moines for about 4.5 years, and it would be negative 20 actual temperature, negative 40 with wind chill. And then you think about the Minnesotans who have it even worse. I mean, negative 60 wind chill.
Right.
That's insane. I wonder how cold it is there now. It gets freezing fast. One more segment here to go on the Mark Cox Morning Show. We'll be right back. I'm Kim St. Ange filling in for Mark. Honestly, I really like this song.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll spare you from singing, but it's catchy. You guys have to admit that,
right?
Yeah.
No, I love it in Hangover, too.
It was the number one song 20 years ago.
And yeah, you were just saying Mark would know this
Mark
song.
Mark would know this song.
I think so. We got to give him credit there. I know it's only the middle of October, Scott Jagow, but have you by any chance started thinking about Christmas gifts?
I have not.
Well, I have an idea for you.
Okay.
You want to hear it?
Yes, I do.
Hit it, Carl.
Who needs personality when you can switch who you are at the push of a button?
Yes, I said switch Kamala.
Oh, hello, young lady. Quite a marvelous day, innit?
Why does she talk so weird?
Let me play with her.
Well, hey there, little nugget. I'm going to be the first black female president of the United States of America.
Man, this doll sucks.
Accent Switch Kamala can emulate any accent you like, as long as it grants her credibility.
Oh, bonjour, you have a croissant.
Merde américaine.
Guten Tag, Sie lieben ein Bratwurst. Ufta, 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 da.
Luke, I am your mother.
But wait, there's more. All new Accent Switch Kamala comes with two bags of campaign money, a blind eye for illegal immigration, and her own multi-laugh 3000 generator. Laugh in every way possible.
There you go. Accent Switch Kamala,
one.
The
I
Barbie.
Want one. How do I get one?
Carl, even for you, she could do the Darth Vader. Luke, I am your father accent.
She said mother.
She said
she
mother.
She did, because she has to put her own little spin on it. You got to be right, because, you know, men are the problem in society, guys.
She's all about it.
I'm surprised she hasn't come out yet at one of these rallies like she's doing over the weekend, you know, where she's going around speaking to the black churches, trying to get them to vote for her. I'm surprised she hasn't, switched her accent mid-sentence. Like, you know, she'll do it. Whatever group she's talking to, she'll try to cater her accent to them. But I'm surprised she doesn't get confused sometimes where she is, and she just starts switching it in the middle of her talking.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, another point is that if this was Trump or even another Republican candidate, the mainstream media would be all over it. They really would.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, like they would be like, why are you doing it this way? You know, why are you switching your voice? Why are you, being a chameleon, but
she gets
no pressure whatsoever about this.
I want to play part of clip 5. I can't remember who made this ad, but it's a pro Kamala ad that's targeting the real men. Clip 5.
I'm a man.
I'm a man.
I'm a man, man.
And I'm man enough.
I'm man enough to enjoy a barrel-proof bourbon.
Meat.
Man enough to cook my steak rare.
Man enough to deadlift 500 and braid the shit out of my daughter's hair.
You think I'm afraid to rebuild a carburetor? I eat carburetors for breakfast.
I ain't afraid of bears.
That's what bear hugs are for.
And I'll tell you another thing I sure as shit am not afraid of. Women.
I'm not afraid of women.
I'm not afraid of women.
They want to control their bodies? I say go for it.
They want to use IVF to start a family? I'm not afraid of families.
They want to be childless cat ladies?
Have all the cats you want.
Woman wants to be president?
Well, I hope she has the guts to look me right in the eye and accept my full-throated endorsement.
Oh, that's just cringy. Cringy.
What is that from?
I don't know. I just saw the ad that somebody made for Kamala, and now you have Obama out there trying to go around telling men that the reason they're not voting for her is because they're scared of a woman being president. I mean, seriously.
I'm a man. That is cringeworthy.
Oh my gosh. And that's the kind of nonsense.
Bears.
Bears. That's a bear hug.
It's like from Anchorman.
I'm man enough. I'm sorry. Have you seen some of the men on the left who are, well, transitioning, but think they're women? But I mean, it is mind blowing. The kind of stuff that's coming from that side. And Kamala's trying to convince you that she is competent enough to be the president of the United States. I actually believe she's smart. I really do. Like, I actually believe there's some intelligence there, but it does not translate when she speaks. And I think she has a hard time coming up with her own thoughts. Like, I don't believe that some of these quote unquote policies, very few, by the way, that she's put out that she stands for.
Right.
She can't defend them when she's asked about them because I don't think they're original ideas. I believe Trump's policies, the ideas he has put forth, are his ideas on how to better the economy, et cetera.
There are people behind the scenes feeding her lines and ideas. There's no doubt about it. If you watch any of her press conferences or, events like that.
Right. It's the Harris, Biden, and Obama administration, you might argue. I don't know. All right, that's going to do it for us here this morning on the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Kim filling in for Mark. He returns tomorrow. Scott, thank you for sitting in this morning.
Thank you.
Annie Fry Show is next. Mike Elam filling in this morning for her. And then Mark Reardon will finish out the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.